Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. What a great day it is, because it's the day that you've given us to come together as believers to worship you. So, Father, that's my prayer this morning. In everything that we do, we pray that, Lord, you're pleased with our words, with our hearts. And, Lord, may you visit with us in this place today. We love you, Father, and we love you, Jesus, and we love you, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen. Normally, sometimes I do, but I don't explain the reasoning behind some of the songs because usually I don't have a part in that. But this morning, this last song, of course, Amazing Grace. Well, we've been talking about grace. This morning will be a month that we've been talking about God's grace. And I just thought that that would be a great song to play because it talks about what? Not just grace now, but grace then, right? Because it talks about forever. Forever, God is ours. God is mine, right? So that's the point of this series, is to help you or help me even understand God's grace upon grace. And as we begin this morning together, I want to take you back to some of the places in the Bible that we've looked at over the past few weeks concerning God's grace. If you remember, we looked at Revelation. We looked at the last verse in the Bible. So that's where I want to start. Normally we start where? Somewhere at the beginning or in the middle. But I want to take you to the very last verse again, because this is what it says. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with who? With all. And we covered that, right? All of creation, man's creation, gets common grace, right? But when you give your life to Christ, you get some more. You get something a little bit different. But the very last verse of the Bible is such a hope-filled verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. And I hope this morning that you realize that it's God's grace that saved you and sustains you and secures you. The main point of that verse is just that. The main point for today's message, the final message in our series, Grace Upon Grace. With Jesus, with Christ, we forever have access to God's abundant grace. If you don't write anything down, I just encourage you to remember that. With Jesus, forever, you have access to God's grace. And forever is actually eternity, right? And I've said this before, that's a long time, y'all. And even more. And that's very true, because that's God's grace, y'all. It's something we get access to forever. You know, God's grace, He has more than we could ever imagine. You might even say His grace is unending. And I'm sure you've heard it said this way, God's grace is sufficient. You know, all those things are true, and this is the reason we'll spend the time together today focused on the securing grace. And it's securing grace that's given to us by the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and lived out in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to why I played the song before, the Amazing Grace song. Fall like fire. What is today? Normally we would talk about Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday, right? If you know anything about Pentecost, what happened? The apostles of Christ were sitting in a room waiting, right? They were being obedient. They were following the instructions of Jesus that said, go here and wait. Well, guess what? Fire fell. And you're sitting here this morning because of the fire that fell. So I picked that song for that reason. I wanted you to know that, hey, we get God's grace because it's a gift from Him, and it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's lived out in our hearts and our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when a person accepts the gospel of Jesus Christ, that person receives His saving grace. You remember Paul's words that we looked at from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. It was actually on that song at the beginning. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And I paused and I read that a different way. For by the gift of God, right? The undeserved gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is the saving grace that allows us the opportunity to experience, as James says, God's greater grace. So we move from common grace to greater grace. Grace upon grace. Or as John said, we move from his, for from his fullness we have all received that grace upon grace. When you consider your salvation, and I hope you have, or if not, I hope that you will at some point today. But when you consider your salvation, you must know that it comes with much more grace than you deserve. Saving grace secures your place with Jesus. Where? In heaven. For eternity. And it justifies you before a mighty and holy God. Now, we read some other scriptures concerning grace. And I want to take you back now to Romans chapter 3. Verses 21 through 26, and this is what it says. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by what? His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. Verse 26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Make no bones about it. To get access to grace upon grace, the greater grace, it requires an acceptance of Jesus Christ. It requires a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. I didn't say that. God said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Having been saved and justified, God then works to sustain us while we wait. And while we wait, we know we're going to experience good times and tough times. Some of you might have experienced that this week. I know I have, right? Blessed times and cursed times. Prosperous times and impoverished times. Healthy times and unhealthy. Troubled times. Here's the reality. We live in this world right now. So we're not immune to the effects of this world. This is why God's sustaining grace becomes so important for the believer, and why Paul reminded us and shared with us in Corinthians what the Lord said, or what the Lord taught him about sustaining grace. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 8 through 10 says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, y'all remember this? My grace is sufficient. For who? For you. And of course, this is the Lord talking to Paul, but he's also talking to who? To you. My grace. And I want you to see that and embrace that. God's grace is sufficient. For who? For you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, having been saved and justified and now being sustained, God also begins the beautiful and gracious work in our hearts that transforms us and sets us apart for his glory. Have you ever thought about yourself in that way? Because if you haven't, I want you to this morning. When you give your life over to Christ, right? When you decide to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? And you make that tremendous decision, God begins to work in you for the purpose of making you different. In other words, he wants you to go to the world and the world to say, well, that person don't belong here. He's set apart. And why? To be like Jesus. To be like his righteousness. To be like his holiness. Have you ever thought about yourself in that way? If not, do so today. Because God, if he saved you and you've accepted that, he set you apart to be different than this world we live in. To be a demonstration of his son, Jesus Christ. To walk in his righteousness, to walk in his holiness. And for people to look at that and go, huh, that person's not like the rest of us, but I like it. It's inviting and it's intriguing. God's sanctifying grace is that which allows us to accomplish the goals that Paul mentioned. And we looked at this last week. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You remember that? And we sang about it a little bit already this morning. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to do what? Present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your spiritual worship. If you're allowing the transforming work of God, the powerful, sanctifying, transforming work of God to happen, right? You've heard that term, quenching the spirit, right? When you quench the spirit, you're telling God, stop that. I don't want you to do that. I want to do it over here my way, right? But if you're allowing that sanctifying, that transforming work of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit to work inside of you without even knowing it, you're worshiping the Father. Paul says that, doesn't he? When that work's taking place, that is your spiritual worship. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the process. Here's something else I've learned about God. His process is way much better. Mo better. A lot better than my process. Matter of fact, I'll say this. His process is perfect. Mine is flawed. Mine's flawed from the very beginning. His is perfect from the very beginning. Now, I know you're probably sitting there thinking, well, he just gave us a shortened version of the past 3 weeks on grace. Guess what? True. Instead of going back through a review, I hope that you would recognize that it is God and only God who uses grace to give us this new life. It's God and only God who uses grace to strengthen us for the things that we face every day in this world. Have you ever thought about that? You know that thing that happened to you that you say, man, I can't believe this is happening. Or I can't believe this is happening again. How am I going to deal with this? The sustaining grace of your Savior Jesus Christ. It's the sustaining power of the Spirit of God that lives inside of you that helps you do those things. Or perhaps it's God's grace that strengthens your relationships. I look around the room and I know this to be true because it's true in my own life. I've got relationships here on earth that are strained. And I don't mean they're bad, but they're not where they need to be. And guess what? Sometimes one of those relationships is with Jesus. But it's the grace of God, the grace upon grace, the greater grace that helps me do what? Work to improve those relationships. It is God who uses grace to empower us through his Spirit. You know, the one, if you're saved, who resides where? In your heart. Lives there. Took resident there. And when we know these things, we trust these things, we believe these things, I hope that you recognize it's God's grace that will give you access to heaven one day. That's that securing grace. We talk about security, we think we got to put a pistol in our purse, right? Or our pocket. It's the world we live in, right? And that's sometimes necessary. We put cameras in the church. Why? Because we needed security. We needed a backup plan. But those are all worldly things. What I'm talking about is eternal security. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, and it's genuine, it's authentic, and it's sealed by the Spirit of God when He comes to reside in your heart, then your security in heaven is there. And there's nothing going to take it away. In other words, you get access. You got a key to the palace. You got a key to the kingdom. All because of God's grace. Grace upon grace. So this morning, today, I hope to show you just, there's several other details, but I wanted to share with you one final detail about God's amazing grace. It's the same grace that saves you. It's the same grace that justifies you. It's the same grace that sanctifies you. Same grace that sustains you. It's the same grace that also works to secure you, both here on earth as a servant of Christ and in heaven as a child of an almighty God. And I've asked you this question before, but have you ever thought of yourself in that manner? That you're a child of an almighty God, an all-powerful God. That you're a child of the one and only God. You see, it's God's securing grace that allows you to be free forever. Jesus said, if the Son, that's capitalized because He's talking about Himself, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Another reason that I wanted to play that Chris Tomlin version of Amazing Grace, because in that he talks about the chains being what? Gone. The chains being broken. Well, can I just use the words of Christ to say the same thing? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, it's this freedom that allows you to discover the person God created you to be and to turn away from the person the world is telling you that you should be. Start applying that every day. The grace of God wants you to be who He wants you to be and remove you from what the world says you ought to be or should be. It is by grace through faith, grace through trust, grace through belief, grace through faith that allows us to experience kingdom life now in anticipation of kingdom life then. Every new day here, is another chance for us, for me, to get better on this side of eternity. It's another chance for the powerful work of God to help me become more like Jesus. I've asked you this. Everybody in the room shook their head or raised their hand. Do you want to be more like Jesus? I hope that's one of the reasons you're here today. I really do. But not just here on a Sunday. I hope when you get up tomorrow on a Monday that you say, hey, it's Monday, Lord. Help me be more like your Son Jesus today. And then when Wednesday rolls around, hump day, when you wore out already and you're looking forward to the weekend, you say, hey, I need it today too, Lord. Can you help me be more like Christ? Every new day here is another chance for me to get better on this side of eternity. It is by the grace of God that I can daily demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Paul taught us that in Galatians. Y'all remember what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and this one's the most, probably the hardest one out of the list, self-control. When we become more like Christ, those are His attributes. That's what we get. Grace upon grace teaches us that. And it's funny, I was, you know, woe is me, pitiful me, pity party this morning, griping and complaining. I won't say to who because I don't want you to go and ask what I was griping and complaining about. But that person reminded me, hey, buddy, what's your message on this morning? Don't you just love how God just does that to you sometimes? Puts you in a little bit of fire, maybe get some rid of the bad stuff, right? Well, it's fun to do that sometimes, gripe and complain, isn't it? But it's also awesome when God reminds you, hey, buddy, you're my child. If you'll just let me work, then this is what'll pour out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God has promised to do what? Always be with us. Do you believe that? He's promised to always be with us. And it's the various works of His grace in our life, okay, that lets us know He's right here beside us. It's the various works of His grace in all of our life that if you open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, open your mind, and look to your left and your right and you up and down, what you'll find is Him right there every step of the way. That means now as well as what? Then. Golly, I can't help but keep thinking about that, y'all. What a blessing. What a blessing. Do you remember the words of Jesus? I'm going to go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. And it says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And I just talked about this. Look around. He's there, right? For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? You know what I love about that teaching from Jesus? One of the greatest things I love about that is it's right in your face and it's very honest about God the Father. And it talks about His gift to you as His child. And for a month, I've been doing my best to try to explain His grace. His grace upon grace. And we talk about how much more the gifts of the Father, how much better they are. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Never forget that grace is a gift. You can't earn it, but you sure do get a lot of it. It's free. It's abundant. It's overflowing. So I want to encourage you today, because we're like this sometimes. We're like this sometimes. But I want to encourage you today to stop worrying about getting what you deserve. Do you do that sometimes? Well, man, I don't deserve this. I deserve this. Well, if you're a child of God, guess what? And He blesses you, then for whatever reason, in His mind, He's decided to bless you, then you deserve it. So stop focusing on what you think you deserve and focus on what you've been given. Does that make sense? focus on His grace, which gives you much more than you deserve. And it always will. It always will. As we close out our series, we close out our time today, it's important to understand that God doesn't skimp on the things that He gives us. You ever give something and you say, well, I ain't going to give that much. God don't do that. He doesn't skimp. I, for one, am glad He doesn't skimp on grace, because I need as much of it as I can get. I gave you a real life example from about an hour and a half ago. I need as much grace as God is willing to give me. And oh, by the way, Scripture says He's going to give it all to me. Every ounce of it. He's going to pour it out on me abundantly, continually. And when I think about that, whew, man, it gets me excited. You see, grace is this dynamic force with benevolent power that applies the greatness of God and the resources of God to our lives to save us, to keep us, to enable us, to deliver us, to sanctify us, and to eventually, one day, hallelujah, glorify us. All of God's favor is extended to His children and given to us through the means of this undeserved favor known as grace. In all of Scripture, there's one verse that sums it up better than any other. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Now, this verse is wedged in the midst of some other scriptures, and the context applies to those other scriptures, but I want you to pay attention to this one verse from 2 Corinthians 9. And God, who we've been talking about a lot lately, oh wait, we ought to talk about Him a lot, right? And God, guess what He is? He's able. He's God. He can do it all. When I read that, that's what it means. And God, who can do it all, right, is able to make all grace, not some grace, not a little bit of grace, not just a smidge of grace, all grace, what? Abound to you. That word abound, I had to look it up, to be honest with you. I mean, I know what it means, but I had to look it up in context of this. It's an excess, a lot of stuff, right? In other words, He's going to give all the grace in excess, all of it, as much as you could possibly stand, because He's able. He's going to give it to who? To you. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, the troubled times, the prosperous times, the impoverished times, the healthy times, the unhealthy times, in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So here's the key. I want you to remember this. Why does God do all this stuff? Because He wants you to be who He wants you to be. Because when you become who He wants you to be, then at the end of that verse right there, what does it say? It's His grace. It's His power. It's everything that He's given to you coming out of you where? Into the world. It's going to look and say, well, gee, Gail's different than the rest of us. But I like it. Consider this morning as we close out the magnificent nature of that verse. The adjectives used in this verse indicate that God's grace is available and superior for every aspect of life. Grace to understand the word. Grace to wisely apply it. Grace to overcome temptation. Grace to overcome, even more than that, sin. Grace to endure suffering. Grace to endure disappointment. Grace to endure pain. Grace to obey the Lord. Grace to serve Him effectively. Grace to worship Him. The Bible says how we're supposed to worship Him: in spirit and truth. Grace, grace, grace upon grace. to fill all of eternity. That's just how much God loves us. That's why He gives us abundant grace, amazing grace. Not just for now, but for eternity. Do you believe that? I know that there's many, many people that God's used to explain grace in a much better way than I have attempted the past month. But I hope, my hope is that you know without a doubt before you leave here today that the only way you get access to the grace upon grace is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you got some work to do, that's okay. I do too. But it's the grace of God that'll help me do that.